There is a lot happening in Congress right now, but the impeachment inquiry has overshadowed most of it. So let's take a step back from impeachment and look at what else is happening on Capitol Hill. Joining us in studio is Eva McKend, a congressional correspondent with Spectrum News. Eva, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
We also welcome your questions and thoughts about what else Congress might be doing or perhaps not doing because of the impeachment inquiry. So email us 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Let's start with the Patriot Act. It was reauthorized by the House and the Senate last month. Before we get into the details of that, remind us what the Patriot Act is.
Yeah, Joshua. It was signed into law by President Bush in the weeks following 9/11. Obviously, a very different political climate back then. Some of the main features of the overall Patriot Act include indefinite detentions, searching your home or business without consent, giving the FBI the power to search your telephone, email, and financial records without a court order. It's changed since then, but that's the crux of the Patriot Act.
What are some of the key provisions that were reauthorized?
Yeah, so the one that has been causing the most concern is Section 215, and that enables the government to access phone records on millions of Americans every year during terrorism investigations. I think that people are concerned that Congress and maybe the media has a short memory when it comes to this issue, because in the weeks and months following the Patriot Act being signed into law years ago, it sparked a lot of outrage and concern. And the fact that it was reauthorized seemingly so casually without much attention, specifically Section 215, now people are starting to ask questions.
Yeah, and particularly because there are some very progressive members of the House now, the Rashida Tlaibs, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes. Was there any sense of pushback from the more progressive wing of the Democrats?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the members of the so-called squad voted against it, and they basically argue that there wasn't enough time. So Congress suspended, Democrats voted to suspend the 72-hour rule before moving forward with this. So many members may have not even known what they were voting for. And actually, that was an issue when the Patriot Act was originally signed into law.
I'm sorry, the 72-hour rule?
Yeah, there's a 72-hour rule that before key pieces of legislation are voted on, members of Congress have to, or Congress has to post the bill online so that we can do things like that. This, we can have conversations about it before they're swiftly adopted. But when that rule is suspended, Congress doesn't have to abide by that rule. And so members basically have been arguing we needed more time to go through this. AOC among them, Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky, a Republican, a libertarian-leaning Republican, has been very vocal about this, arguing Democrats are being hypocritical by arguing that the president is abusing his power at the same time giving the federal government a tremendous amount of power in reauthorizing this act. The late Congressman John Conyers, when this Patriot Act was adopted years ago, he very famously in Michael Moore's documentary Fahrenheit 9/11 said, "We don't read most of the bills. Do you really know what that would entail if we were to read every bill that we pass?" And so here we are years later, and Congress is still having the same conversation about not actually reading the bills that they're signing on.
Well, the bills are complicated. There's all these different words and lines and paragraphs. And something else that is highly, highly complicated is the funding of the U.S. government. It was set to expire like a few days ago, but now the new deadline is in 3 weeks, December 20th. Is it true that we were like hours away from a shutdown?
Yeah, absolutely. And this maybe would have received much more attention previously when we've been this close. Sometimes there have been countdown clocks on the cable networks, but not much of attention because we were so focused on impeachment. But yes, we were just hours away from a government shutdown. Congress did approve this month-long spending bill, but we could be in this very situation in just a few weeks on December 20th. So I think the a good question is, why do we continue to sort of operate like this? According to the Congressional Research Service, the last time Congress passed all of its appropriations bills on time was 1996. So why do we continue to operate this way and sort of in this way that we sort of piecemeal our funding rather than do it in a proper process?
Now, in this case, the deadline was extended, so I assume that there was no political leverage to be perceived on either side from letting the deadline pass and saying, well, fine, we'll just say to hell with it, and then the American people can see that you guys on your side of the aisle are making it impossible to get anything done. That didn't happen this time.
No, because there are no winners and losers in a shutdown. I spoke to a staff member of one of the members of the Progressive Caucus who basically told me his member wasn't thrilled about voting for the continuing resolution with the Patriot Act provisions in it, but that he was not going to shut down the government. There's sort of plenty of time to deal with this. Other members of the Progressive Caucus who swallowed this pill of having to sign on to the Patriot Act said that they're actually going to be in a better position to negotiate in March to get real reform in the Patriot Act. They argue that it's never going to go away completely, despite the hopes of progressives, and that they'll have supposedly much better leverage in the spring to really negotiate for American civil liberties.
I just want to be clear on something you just said. You said in terms of this continuing resolution, this measure to continue basically funding the budget at its current levels until we can figure something else out. That and the Patriot Act reauthorization were connected, right?
They were connected. The provisions in the Patriot Act that were reauthorized go until March, though. The CR only lasts until December.
So basically they had to vote for both of them or vote for none of them.
Well, that was the strategy that House Democrats used and thought that this would be the best way to move forward with that, since it was set, the Patriot provisions in the Patriot Act were set to expire.
So what now in terms of a budget deal? I mean, is it likely that Congress will get a budget deal done before funding expires? I mean, if history is any indication, like you said, it's been since 96. And if history is any indication, they'll find a way to kick this a little bit further. But then there are certain points within the budget process beyond which you really can't kick a continuing resolution without causing trouble.
Exactly. It's hard to see how they will achieve this with just 8 workdays left in the Senate, 13 in the House. A comprehensive spending bill, but it is possible, I guess, but it is very little time to get a whole lot of legislation accomplished.
We're speaking to Eva McKend, congressional correspondent for Spectrum News. We welcome your questions and thoughts as well, 1A@WAMU.org. Speaking of spending, there's a debate over defense spending that's supposed to play out over the next couple of weeks. This is always one of those big contentious areas of the budget, but what's going on this time?
Yeah, Congress has reauthorized defense spending annually for more than 50 years. I think some of the key hang-ups in the defense bill are over election security. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer very vocal about wanting that to be included. Senator McConnell pushing back on this, saying that this defense bill is sort of not a wish list of liberal interest groups, that some of the things that Senate Democrats are pushing for in this defense bill have nothing to do with the military and the true heart and soul of defense spending. Another key issue and led to the government shutdown last year is border wall funding. The future of military construction projects in Fort Campbell in Kentucky, in Senator McConnell's home base. You know, what's going to happen with some of these military projects? We know that President Trump redirected funds from those projects earlier this year towards the border wall. So lots of issues with this defense bill. Also, interestingly, Forever Chemicals, PFAS, the Forever Chemicals found in a lot of household items, that also is, there's provisions in there to better regulate the chemical industry. That's also up for debate. That's something that Democrats truly would like to see move forward. There was actually a congressional hearing on this issue of Forever Chemicals recently. Actor Mark Ruffalo is up here advocating for it with his new movie. And that's, I think, something that would have received more attention if it didn't come on the same day of an impeachment hearing.
Anything that can upstage Mark Ruffalo. Clearly, it's a very busy day in Washington. Since you mentioned Mitch McConnell, he's been having a lot of success in terms of federal judges moving forward, which is not new. We know that that's been an imperative for the last few years, but apparently it's kind of accelerated.
Yes, and this is something he's running on as he seeks re-election in 2020. This is something that he can't speak enough about. You know, forget the president's tweets and character. Look at what we're accomplishing in terms of this historic amount of federal judges that we're able to push through as his message. I connected with his staff this morning. The grand total right now, Supreme Court 2, Circuit Courts 48, District Courts 112, U.S. Court of International Trade 2. So that's a total of 164. And so I think one of the key parts of this conversation that's going missed in our conversations about Senator McConnell remaking the federal judiciary is this is happening simultaneously to conversations about criminal justice reform and the First Step Act and a lot of excitement around that. But you have to ask yourself, if the courts are becoming more and more conservative, what will that mean for criminal justice reform in the long term? I think a lot of people would argue that it's perhaps a good thing that so many people were able to get out of prison on the First Step Act. But what does it mean in the decades to come if the courts become more conservative? Will they stay within that sort of spirit?
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A. Let's talk trade for a minute. There's the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the successor to NAFTA that the president demanded from Canada and Mexico. Some believe that the USMCA will pass in the House soon. What would the significance of that be, and what does it look like in terms of getting it passed?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from my sources as well, that House Democrats want to move forward with this. I think that there are some Democrats who have philosophical disagreements with what is in it, but for the most part, they are signaling their support. Democrats, some Democrats want stronger labor enforcement. They want domestic labor reforms in Mexico. But at this, both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, have something to gain from moving forward with this. Democrats want to be able to show that they can impeach and govern at the same time. And so ultimately, if the House does pass USMCA, it takes away one of the talking points from Republicans that this is a do-nothing House under Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Well, and also some of the candidates. I mean, Andrew Yang is fond of saying that anytime we talk about President Trump, we're losing the election, whether we're talking about impeaching him or not. We have to show that we are able to do more than just point to him and say, isn't he terrible?
Exactly.
Now, with regards to these congressional hearings, we know about the hearings with the impeachment inquiry and the House Intelligence Committee. Now it heads to the House Judiciary Committee this week. But there have been other congressional hearings that are still going on. I mean, that was one hearing in one committee. Are there any other committee hearings that stood out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of these several House committees, Senate committees still moving forward despite the inquiry. Something that interests me was the future of private equity corporations. We saw, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick entering the race and his association with Bain Capital. Lots of conversations about that. Also, the Carlyle Group with Taylor Swift calling them out on Twitter a few weeks ago for their involvement with a former manager of hers. So I thought that it was interesting that Congress is looking at this issue, but it's actually more nuanced than you would think. Not everyone is in the camp of Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in that these private equity groups need to be completely overhauled. Democrats, including New York Congressman Gregory Meeks, sort of sees the role that private equity can play in saving minority-owned businesses that are struggling. So that's very interesting. Although some House Republicans don't like having this conversation because they say it's giving a platform for Senator Elizabeth Warren's Stop the Wall Street Looting bill. And they say precious House floor time shouldn't be used to promote her ideology, advance a key issue she's running on. But financial services still moving forward, that committee having a lot of interesting hearings.
And there are some private equity groups who are specifically targeting minorities minorities, people of color, women who need private equity funding to try to help those businesses grow. Before we go, obviously, there's going to be a lot more impeachment talk, more inquiries, more hearings. Do you get the sense that maybe we're just not hearing about this because members of Congress are like, ah, you're not going to report it anyway? We know things are going on. We know you are. We are playing one tape on one tune. So why talk about it?
Well, I don't know about that, and I don't think we should give them a pass. You know, this is a pattern that whenever we get to a sensitive time, so the impeachment inquiry is arguably a sensitive issue, or we get to a time period that's difficult around the holidays, Thanksgiving, that several things are passed in the middle of the night and people don't know about it, and they really should. And so I think this is a time to still hold Congress accountable and make sure that you're paying attention to everything else that is happening. We're going to have what Congressman Thomas Massey describes as a Christmas crisis in a few weeks when everyone wants to go home, and we'll be in this same position again when they're trying to pass an omnibus spending bill, perhaps. And that's sort of just no excuse for not paying attention to the fine print.
Eva McKend is a congressional correspondent with Spectrum News. Eva, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me back.
This conversation was produced by Haley Blassingame. To learn more about our team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Joshua Johnson. This is 1A.